Good to be back with you this evening. We'll go from the New Testament that we looked at this morning back to the Old Testament tonight. I like to do studies of characters in the Old Testament. They can teach us a lot. I remember somebody saying to me one time, if you want to go where the action is, go to the Old Testament. And that is true. We see men and women living life and living out life before God in the Old Testament. I want to look at an Old Testament character tonight. Now, if you would think of any Old Testament character, maybe your favorite, someone that stands out in your mind, just think for a moment who you might think of. Or perhaps an Old Testament character that you would like to use as an example. Maybe even in this coming year, one that you would like to use as an example to follow for this coming year to be pleasing to God. Well, the one we're going to look at tonight, there's not a lot recorded about him. He was not a tremendous leader. He didn't really have a, quote, famous name. He's not mentioned at all in the New Testament. But I really believe he's one whose rewards with God are great. Turn back to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Now that ought to narrow it down to a couple choices. Numbers chapter 13. The character I have in mind tonight is one that I entitled a steadfast servant. A steadfast servant. And I would hope and trust that that is the desire of every one of our hearts, is to be steadfast in the Lord. You know, as we look at people, we can be awfully disappointed sometimes, can't we? And I'm sure as people might look at us, they would be disappointed at times. Because sometimes we falter and we fail. We get off track. And yet this particular person that we're going to look at tonight, I don't know that anywhere it's recorded that he got off track. He really was steadfast from the beginning to the end. We're going to look at Caleb. Caleb. And looking at Numbers chapter 13, I know this story here and the surroundings are familiar. And we'll just read some selected verses for context and to refresh our minds. But what we want to look at here tonight is six characteristics of a steadfast servant. Six characteristics, and these are things that we really can apply to our own lives, and really use Caleb as an example to be a steadfast servant of the Lord. And all six will begin with S's, so maybe that'll aid the memory a little bit. Numbers chapter 13. And verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. And Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And then going down to verse 6. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb. And the first thing we notice then about a steadfast servant is he is one who is selected by God. Selected by God. You know, I really believe the Lord has a job. He has something for every one of us in the body of Christ to do. He not only has a job for us to do, but he has equipped us to do it. God is the bestower of gifts through the Holy Spirit. He sovereignly gives gifts to whom he will, as many as he will. But every one of us has a function and has a job to do in the body of Christ. Well, this is the first that we read of Caleb. And as we learn from the book of Joshua, and we'll look at this a little bit later, but we learn from Joshua chapter 14 and verse 7 that Caleb was 40 years old when Moses chose him, told him that he would be one of the 12 going out to search out, seek out the promised land, the land of Canaan. So he was 40 years old. Now, 40 years old, I don't know if that's young or old in your book. I guess it's young to many of you. To some, it's old. It's kind of that middle point in life, isn't it? Maybe somewhere between 40 and 50 years old is sort of the midlife. And psychologists and all those people warn us of midlife crises. Well, we ought not to listen to them, but we ought to look at the Word of God. Because if we looked at the servants that God used, we would find a lot of them in the midlife, wouldn't we? And there's no, probably not a mistake in that. Obviously not a mistake in that. God chose them. God wants His servants to be mature. He wants them to be ready. He wants them to be equipped and prepared. And here was a man who was 40 years old, undoubtedly had good training, undoubtedly was a man of God, a man who had received training, perhaps had he and Joshua together, learning together, experiencing together, learning of the Lord together. Anyhow, the time came where God selected Caleb to do a job. And our challenge to us tonight would be, what has God burdened us to do? What has He burdened you to do? Has He burdened you to go out and to evangelize people out in the highways and the byways of life? Has He burdened you to be one who's hospitable, one who would open their home to people, to saints, to strangers? So many things that ministries that God gives to do. You know, people who sit around and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what God has given me to do, really aren't looking very far. There are ministries galore. There are people hurting in every walk of life. There are saints who need ministered to, who need help, who need encourage. Just look around. There's a job to be done. What has God selected you to do? Well, that's the first characteristic of a steadfast servant, one who is selected by God. Now, you remember the story. Of course, the spies went out, and they saw some pretty good things. And they came back. Let's turn over here in chapter 13, verse 21. They went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Verse 23, they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Everybody could see that. Here was the land that God was sending them. Can you imagine the excitement of the people? This is the land they have been promised. They've been wandering around, and now they're finally going to go to that land. And here was just a little portion of the fruit of that land, this big cluster of grapes. And even all of these spies agreed that this was tremendous. And they said, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. Look at this fruit. But look at verse 28. Nevertheless, they said, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. And then Caleb spoke up. And here we see the second characteristic of a steadfast servant, one who has spiritual eyesight. Notice what Caleb said. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 31, the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. The second characteristic here of a steadfast servant, one who has spiritual eyesight. What was the difference? All 12 spies went to the same land. All 12 spies saw the same thing, or could have seen the same thing. And yet only Joshua and Caleb, among those 12, had a good report and said, let's go up at once and take possession. What was the difference? The other spies, you see, didn't have spiritual eyesight. All they saw was the obstacles. All they saw was the problem. They saw the city. They said the city is large. The city was fortified. It probably had walls around it. That was typical in those days. They saw these big people, giants in their sight, and they were afraid of them. They saw that the enemy was strong. And they concluded, in looking at the obstacles and looking at the problems, looking at the people, looking at the frailty of themselves, they concluded, we are not able to go in and possess the land. Now, what was the difference between what they saw and what Caleb saw? Caleb saw the same thing. He saw the fortified city. He saw that the city was large. He saw these giants in the land. But one thing Caleb saw that the other 10 spies didn't see was God. And he knew God had sent him to that land to spy that land out, to see what good was in that land. He knew it was God's promised land to the children of Israel. And Caleb was sure that this was the time that they should go in and possess it. And there was no doubt in his mind whatsoever that God could handle all those obstacles and all those problems in that land. He can handle the walls. He can handle the giants. He can handle all of those things. Remember in Genesis chapter 18 and 14, God said to Abraham, is anything too hard for God? And even Moses, back here in Numbers chapter 11, the people were eating manna and they got sick of manna. Then they started complaining that they wanted meat. God said, fine, I'll give you meat. I'll supply you with meat. And Moses said to God, the people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat, and they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. God had to remind Abraham that nothing was too hard for God. He had to remind Moses that his arm is not shortened. He can accomplish what he desires to do. And here we see in Numbers chapter 13, these 10 spies had their eyes on the wrong thing. They had their eyes on the problem, on the obstacles, on the people. Caleb had his eyes on God. He had spiritual eyesight. We want to be a steadfast servant of God. We too need to have spiritual eyesight. We need to have our eyes on God, not on people, not on problems, not on obstacles. Because there's a lot of things we're going to run into in life that are larger than we are. And we couldn't begin to solve the problems. We couldn't begin to accomplish certain things if it wasn't for our God. Well, the people prevailed there, didn't they? Numbers chapter 14. All the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. They didn't listen to Caleb at all. All the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, If only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And here we see a third characteristic of a steadfast servant. One who is going to be faithful to the Lord and follow the Lord and not be thrown off course. The third characteristic here is he is one who has a sensitive heart. A sensitive heart. All the people, this whole congregation of people were being swayed by 10. And they failed to listen to the 2 who said, we can possess it. Our God is able. He'll go before us. And isn't that the way it is often? You know, it just takes a few people, just a few people to sway a whole crowd and to get everybody worked up and to get everybody scared and to get everybody's faith faltering. But here we see Joshua and Caleb. They were those who had a sensitive heart. They heard what was going on and they just tore their clothes. And of course, that was a sign of mourning, a sign of distress. It hurt Joshua and Caleb that the people wouldn't listen, that the people wouldn't have faith in God. And they were so very, very sensitive at heart. Are we hurt? Are we hurt when we see people going astray? We see members of the body of Christ who just stop coming to the meeting. We see them drifting away. We see them getting into things that we know are wrong. We see those early symptoms of somebody who's faltering or somebody who's being led astray by the wrong crowd. When we see a young person getting into things that we know is going to bring them trouble in their lives, does that hurt us? Or do we just pass it off? Do we just let people go their own way? See, it should hurt. If we are sensitive to God and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, when we see people going astray, we see people doing wrong, we see people falling into sin, it should hurt. And here was two that were hurting, Joshua and Caleb. Men with sensitive hearts. In James chapter 4 and verse 10, we read there, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. God is one who looks for the humble hearted, doesn't He? Turn to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. Beautiful illustration here of David having a sensitive heart. And finally understanding what God really wanted from him. Of course, this was following his terrible sin with Bathsheba, his murder of Uriah, being confronted by Nathan, and finally coming to grips with his own sin, pleading out to God and asking for forgiveness. But look at verses 16 and 17. You do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. What God wants from you and from me, He wants a sensitive heart. He wants a heart that's sensitive to sin. He wants a heart that's sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He wants a heart that is sensitive to others and to surround others and to help others when they're in need. Now, if we ask ourselves, when is the last time we were brokenhearted? When was the last time we, as it were, tore our clothes? because we were so moved and so burdened and so upset by sin. Whether it was ourselves or whether it was someone else or whether it was something in the body of Christ, something in the local meeting. See, are we sensitive? We need to be sensitive before God if we too are to be steadfast servants. Because one who is sensitive to God and His leading and His Spirit is one who will be in tune with God. One who will feel the very heartbeat of God. And Caleb was that. Well, look at verses 7 through 9 of Numbers chapter 14. We see another characteristic here. He tore his clothes, Caleb and Joshua, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us forth into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." A fourth characteristic of a steadfast servant of God is one who has sincere faith in God. Now, what would you have done if you were here? And it appears that only Joshua and Caleb want to go into this land. Obviously, the other 10 spies didn't want to go. They were persuading all these other people, this large group of people, not to go. Everybody's crying. Everybody's weeping. They wish they were dead. They wish God would just left them in Egypt, which was their constant complaint throughout their experience. That whole generation constantly complaining. They wish they would have just stayed in Egypt. But here was a man, Caleb, who had a sincere faith in God. You know, it's one thing to be faithful and sort of, you know, be on the bandwagon when everybody's heading in one direction and everybody's happy and everybody's praising God. But what do we do when we're the only one? You know, when you get out there in the world, and the place where I work in a concrete block manufacturer. And I work in quality control, but I work very closely with the guys in the plant. And I'll tell you, quite a bunch. And God is not their favorite person. A lot of profanity, a lot of wickedness, a lot of, you know, that kind of thing. And sometimes in that kind of environment, it's hard to let your faith be known. And just as Caleb here faced a bunch of wicked people and rebellious people and people who didn't want to go the way of God. And yet he stood up for his faith and he tried to persuade these people. Notice what he says. And everything here focuses on the Lord. He didn't say, "We can do it, we can do it." He said, "The Lord." Verse 8, "If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land." Period. He has that kind of faith in God. God promised this land, and Caleb believed that if God promised it, God will take care of any obstacle that comes our way. You know, that's a tremendous assurance, isn't it? When we go out to witness for the Lord, for instance, if God opens the doors, then the doors will be open. And no man will shut those doors. And if the doors are shut, then we need to be sensitive to that. But the point is, if God goes before us, then God will do the work. I've come to the conclusion in my witnessing that very fact. Let God open the doors. If someone is not responsive and someone is ridiculing and someone really doesn't want to hear, well, God needs to work on that heart. I can try and persuade all day long, but God must be in it. And Caleb knew that. Caleb understood that. And he realized right here at this time in their history, in their experience, that God wanted to bring them into the land. He said, "He will bring us into the land." And he told them, "He will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. As far as the people, look at verse 9. Don't fear the people of the land. They are bread. They have no protection. What protection does a people have when God is their enemy? When God is fighting against them? There's no nation in this world that has enough protection to fight against God, is there? There's none. And when God finally comes back to this earth, and all the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, and all the nations come against Him, we know, don't we, from the book of Revelation, they'll not prevail. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ will wipe them out very simply. God will accomplish His purpose. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? We just need to be on board, and we need to exercise that kind of faith and have that kind of sincere faith that Caleb had. He simply said, do not fear them. Notice what he says right before that, the next to last sentence there in verse 9, the Lord is with us. One hymn we sing, anywhere with Jesus, I will safely go. Anywhere in this world, if we are with the Lord, we are safe. Well, Caleb had a complete confidence in God. And it's a blessed thing when God can delight in His children. Well, moving on here in this story, of course, the people didn't listen. They didn't want to go. And God again comes to Moses and wants to wipe these people out, testing Moses, I really believe, to see how he would respond. But at any rate, we're focusing on Caleb here. And drop down to verse 24. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. Here is a fifth characteristic of a steadfast servant. He's one who is seen by God. One who is seen by God. And what I mean by that is one who God sees the heart, doesn't He? Doesn't look on the outward appearance, but He sees the heart. And He saw the heart of this man, Caleb. Look at verse 24. This is beautiful. Well, in fact, let's back up to verse 20 just to get a connection here. The Lord said, I have pardoned. He listened to Moses and He pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But, verse 24, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Look at verse 30 of chapter 14. He's going over this again. Says their carcasses will fall in the wilderness except for Caleb and Joshua. Look at verse 38. Joshua and Caleb, they will go into the land. You can turn to chapter 26 and verse 65. Chapter 32 and verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 36, all those verses point out the fact that Caleb and Joshua were men of a different spirit. Men who believed. Men whom God singled out. And the point is, He sees that faith. He sees our heart. When we are willing to do right and we are willing to follow the Lord, God sees that. He sees the heart of a steadfast servant. And He saw in these two men, and particularly again Caleb, who we're focusing in on tonight, He saw that he had a different spirit. And that he wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, he wholly followed the Lord. With all his heart. And isn't that the greatest commandment? Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. The Lord Jesus taught that. Of all the laws and commandments in the Old Testament, when he was asked what is the greatest one, he says basically to wholly follow the Lord. And here is an example in Caleb, one who wholly, fully trusted and followed the Lord. That is the greatest commandment we could obey. So he is one who is seen by God. God sees those acts of faith, doesn't he? He sees our faithfulness. He remembers our faithfulness. We'll be rewarded someday for our faithfulness to God. And if we are steadfast servants, and we are ones who are on the path of serving God, and we're not swerving to the right and to the left, but we're steadfast, God will see it. God will remember it. God will reward it in a future day. And in fact, He may even reward it someone in this life. Well, He will reward it someone in this life, but this is an interesting thing to see about Caleb as well. Turn over to Joshua chapter 14. Let's leave that scene. And of course, they wandered another 38 years in the wilderness because of the sinfulness and unbelief of that generation. They all dropped dead in the wilderness, and their children, along with Joshua and Caleb, entered into that land, just as God had promised, just as He had said. And of course, the book of Joshua records that, going into the promised land. We come to chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and we see here now that they're in the land, and they begin to divide the land up according to God. But we see here now Caleb once again. And here he is now, and we'll find out here that he's 85 years old. 45 years later than when he went out to spy the land, this event takes place. So we're 45 years later in Caleb's life. And what we see here now, we still see a steadfast servant. And the last characteristic we see of him is one who is seasoned by age. One who is seasoned by age. Notice verse 7. Caleb says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. That's what we just looked at. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. There was the first blessing as far as this earthly life that Caleb received from the Lord. I shouldn't say the first, but one of the blessings that he received from the Lord is that God left him on this earth for a long time. 85 years old as he writes, or as he speaks here. 45 years after that event of spying the land out, here is Caleb, alive and well. God blessed the man with long life. And then we see in verse 11, he strengthened him in his old age. Verse 10, now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Look what he says in verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Boy, he must have been something. He must have really been a man. He says, I'm as good now at 85 years old as I was when I was 40. Well, it'd be nice to be able to say that. And God doesn't necessarily, of course, bless everyone with with a long life or even good health at an old age. But you know, we all should be seasoned by age, shouldn't we? Spiritually speaking, anyhow. We all should be more wise. We all should be more knowledgeable. We all should be strengthened in our inner man, as Paul says in Ephesians, as we grow old. And we all should be seasoned by age. If we want to be a steadfast servant of God, it's something that must be. Well, notice another thing here about Caleb. He was a man of involvement, a man of action, even in his old age. Verse 12. He says here, "Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified." He remembers all that. The cities were large. The giants were there. The cities were fortified. He says, "It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." There's the same faith, the same sincere faith that he exercised 45 years earlier, isn't it? The same thing. "Give me that mountain," he says. "The Lord will conquer it." And verse 13, "Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Look over at chapter 15 and verse 14. Chapter 15 and verse 14. He got that mountain, and it says there, "Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there." So he got what he asked for. He got what was promised to him, really. He got that mountain. He got that piece of land. Why? Because he was a faithful man. He was a steadfast servant of God. One who was selected by God. One who had spiritual eyesight. One who had a sensitive heart. One who had sincere faith. One who was seen by God and remembered by God. One who was seasoned by age. You know, I'm consider myself a young man anyhow. And there's nothing that thrills my heart more than to see old men and women, godly old men and women, who have lived and walked with the Lord for years and years and years. You don't realize how encouraging that is to younger people. To see that kind of example. To see that, you know, as you grow in life and grow in years, that God is still real to you. And God is the God he says he is. And you've learned that by experience in life. And young people, you need to look to God, or look to these older men and women of God. Because we can learn so much. You know, we live in a society that, I guess, puts youth on some kind of pedestal and thinks that they're everything. But you know, we need people of maturity. People who are seasoned by age. People who have lived life and have experienced life and have experienced the blessings of the Lord and even the chastisement of the Lord, who can give good advice and good counsel to we who are younger. Well, as we can see here, Caleb was quite a man. And I like to call him a steadfast servant. I just don't see him going off to the left or off to the right or going backward, but always forward. Always looking to his God to supply all that he needed. And I trust that we too can be steadfast servants of the Lord. In 1993, let's commit it to him. And let's ask him to help us to be the kind of servant he would have us to be. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you this evening. Number one, for who you are. For your tremendous character, your nature, things that we looked at this morning, things that we can meditate upon and never be filled. But we can continue to learn of God throughout our lives. We thank you again for your great plan of salvation. A plan so tremendous that you can take men and women who are unjust and clothe us in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending your only begotten Son into this world to die on a cross and to bear the sins of the whole world. And that through that offering, we can have forgiveness of sins. And we can be brought into the family of God. And we can be sons of God. And we can have privileges and responsibilities before God. Lord, help each one of us to realize who we are in Christ. Help us, Father, to walk worthy of that to which we were called. Help us, Lord, to be as Caleb, to be one who is not swayed by the philosophies and the thoughts and the whims and the fashions of this world. But help us, Father, to be people of the book and people who get our directions and our beliefs and our philosophies from the Word of God. Lord, may we be steadfast. And may we be found that way 10, 20, 30 years from now if the Lord Jesus hasn't returned. We thank you, Father, for those in this group who are older. Those, Father, who have walked with the Lord many, many years. We trust, Father, that they are examples to those who are younger in this meeting. And Lord, we ask your rich blessing upon them. Reward them, our Father, for their faithfulness. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he may be glorified in our beings and in our midst. Amen.